it is. It's basketball. It's not a fucking soft sport.
I love it, Gabe. I love it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast for Tuesday, November 3rd. I'm calling this episode the Mug Off episode. And if you haven't been listening, there's a podcast called The Mug Off, a comedy podcast. I caught it the other day. Really great episodes. I'll put the link in the description. Three comedians who kind of talk about getting mugged off. But it's been a week of mug offs in the NBL, and I'm going to go through them. But before all that, just to give you a highlight of what's up on the program, talking about preseason games, Hugh Greenwood, Jack White on Gibbo goes one-on-one, the NBA draft, the Sydney Kings and their sponsorship, Liam Santamaria's latest article on NBL.com, Bill Simmons is the big mug off of the week, so we'll go in through all that. But let's start nice and quick. Adelaide and Brisbane are playing some preseason games on November 13th and 15th. There's been no mention of whether they will be streamed or telecast for people to watch outside of Adelaide, so that's a bit of a downer. The fawning over Hugh Greenwood. Boy, NBL fans just love this guy. Greenwood trained with the Brisbane Bullets, and there were all these articles about it and interviews and a lot of eye-open emojis on the Twitter. The NBL's attempted close ties to the AFL storyline, that's got to change. But, you know, what's sure is Hugh Greenwood has got basketball circles wrapped around his finger. He's so popular he could almost sign an NBL contract and then renege at the last minute, and basketball fans would still love him. Oh, wait, that's already happened. Sure, he's a good guy, and good luck to him getting getting a sweat up with the Bullets. Jack White on Gibbo goes one-on-one. The quote from him that stuck out for me was, and I quote, "I was thinking about pulling out after my sophomore year." Jack White was talking about when he was at, Duke, and then they recruited over the top of him with RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson and a whole bunch of others. He was thinking about pulling out. He probably should have. And it raises an interesting question about basketball development. And in a way, it drags the NBL NextStars program into the equation and into the question. What's better? What's worse? Reps or a less than professional experience? And what I mean by that is, would you rather be on a pro league like the NBL or in a program like Duke and not play or barely play, or go to a Division II or a smaller college or a less famous college and get more minutes, but with lesser teammates, with less experienced teammates against lesser opponents? I'm of the opinion you want the reps. You can look at a barbell for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you're not going to gain any muscle. You got to pick that thing up and lift it, even if it's a smaller weight than what you were looking at. And it really comes down to a question of Theodore Kaluza, 1885-1954, German philosopher. In his 30s, he didn't know how to swim. And in his 30s, he read a book about how to swim and jumped in a lake, having only read about how to do survival stroke, to differentiate the difference between learned and acquired knowledge. And he obviously jumped in this water and he swam, despite having never swum before, but only read a book about it. It would be my argument that you cannot become a good basketball player by watching or by osmosis, by sitting next to Bogut on the bench. I don't think it helps you, but does it help you as much as playing in Division II and dribbling and taking the shots? I would argue the latter. Get out there and play, even if the competition is not as good. And that's where the NextStars is still kind of finding its feet within the options that young players have. Moving on, talking about young players, jumping onto the NBA draft, fast approaching November 18 in the USA, so I believe that's November 19th over here. It'll be sometime in the morning, as it always is. My guy, Matt Babcock, who's been on the podcast in the past, you can check out that episode, had a new mock draft released today. Ball, looking at number 4 to the Bulls. Hampton, 15 to the Magic. It's interesting to see Sam Frohling and Terry Armstrong got NBA interviews. Sam Frohling, I'm not so interested. I'm interested in it, but I'm less surprised by Sam Frohling getting an interview. I think he's, you know, a bit bigger guy, a bit rangy, a bit of fun, light in his feet. Terry Armstrong, a bit more surprising. My question is how much did his agent pay for that goodwill and good press, or what deal was struck to get that good press? Because that seems strange to me. He's got click on Terry Armstrong's real GM profile and Google him, and he comes up with about 5 or 6 different agents and management teams. Arthur Smalls, then this is one that comes up in an article. 4 other agents are listed on his real GM profile. They all kind of trade under the Above the Rim Management Incorporated banner. His NextStar journey was odd. I hope those agents enjoy that 10 to 12% because it doesn't seem to have been the right move for him. The smart move would have been to honor his commitment to Arizona. He also had offers from New Mexico, Oklahoma, Oregon. Those scholarships, I think, would have been worth more than what he personally got out of the Next Stars deal. I think looking at how little he played and where his draft stock was and fell to, and you know, those scholarships, I mean, they're Ivy League schools. I don't know where the Ivy League is, but they're nice schools, and you would have got a good education there, and that would have been worth a fortune. So, too bad. Moving on. The Sydney Kings have acquired a new sponsorship. That's with Bryden's Injury Compensation Lawyers. They've sponsored both the Sydney Kings and the Sydney Uni Flames of the WNBL. Sources say it's on a no-win, no-fee basis. So the Kings win, they get paid. They don't, they lose. It's a joke there. Bryden's Lawyers. Did you say government car? If you're a Wogboy fan. Bryden's Lawyers also sponsor the Newcastle Knights and the West Tigers of the NRL. So they like to dip their finger into this pie of plenty. I'll just say, whatever you do, do not Google Bryden's Lawyers and the word cynical, C-Y-N-I-C-A-L. Don't do it. Moving on, Liam Santamaria's latest article on NBL.com.au. It's entitled The Top 10 NBL 21 Signings So Far. His list is as follows, and I quite like this one. This is a fun article to read. I like this sort of stuff. At number 10, he had Isaac Humphries. Number 9, Cam Glidden. Number 8, Finn Delaney. Number 7, Will Magnate. Number 6, Daniel Johnson. Number 5, Deng Adel. Number 4, Ty Webster. Number 3, Lamar Patterson. Number 2, Chris Golding. And number 1, of course, Bryce Cotton. The rationales are all pretty sound. I've got a few thoughts on it. I think Golding's too high. And if you read the article, you would see that he's got the rationale behind why he put players where they were, not just title impact or make a team better or team need, but also the intangibles. So when you take that into consideration, maybe Golding's rightfully number two, but I don't know how you could put him above Patterson. I think the weight that Patterson has as far as winning games and bringing you into title contention definitely takes him to number two. The nostalgia factor is high with Golding. I get that. But I probably would have dropped Golding to 4 and just shifted up Patterson a spot and Ty Webster a spot. I think Ty Webster's going to be really good. He looks like a lot of fun. As I said, Santamaria did explain that the intangibles were a big factor in his decision-making, but I'm not in Melbourne, and I can only assume that Golding is a big deal for that team, franchise and city, so I can't really comment on that. But the other one I thought was a bit higher was Cam Glidden at what number? Number 9 or number 8? Number 9. I thought some of the honourable mentions probably should have slid ahead of him. I think Detch or Drimmick is a better signing. And, you know, in answer to why I'd have it that way as well, I pose this question. Would you prefer Todd Blanchfield or Cam Glidden? Cam Glidden, I don't think he has any intangibles where he's linked to Melbourne. I don't think that's a big thing. I think Blanchfield took the floor. There's not that injury risk with Blanchfield as there is with Glidden. I think Blanchfield's actually a little bit better of a shooter as well. So, I thought Glidden was lucky to make that list. Just me. And then Sunday, Detch, I thought he came a long way as well. I think in a league where, you're either first or last, I think Detch is a guy who could seriously make some inroads to guarding a Bryce Cotton, a Ty Webster. And what I mean is I think Detch can take more points away from the Wildcats, let's say, by guarding Bryce Cotton than someone like Cam Glidden can with his scoring against South. You know what I mean? So Detch can take a couple of points off Cotton. I don't think Glidden can do the same. And if he puts up his 15 so points, I don't think that equates to as much as the defense that Detch plays and the pressure he puts on guys both ways. Then also the other one I thought maybe is Drimmick. I think he was in a bad. He was looking really good at the start of the 36ers year last year. I think I just got worn down with the BS there. And, you know, left the 36ers in sort of unceremonious fashion. They made it very clear from very early on that they weren't going to re-sign him, even though he had a very good year, or quite a good year, especially the start of the year. I think people forget how good he was looking at the start of the year. And I think just not so much body-wise, but just mind-wise, got worn down with all the sort of stuff that was going on there. And if he redirects himself a little bit, and embraces the Bullets, I think he could be a really good player. I think, again, another nice two-way wing. And they do quite well if he can improve his shooting. And I'm hoping that shooting will improve when that injury gets further and further in the rearview mirror. So that's it. But that was a fun one from Liam Santa Maria. You can catch that on the NBL website. Here's the big talking point this week is Bill Simmons mugging off the NBL and its players. In a podcast episode from October 30, the Bill Simmons podcast, Simmons, in reference to LaMelo Ball's draft stock, called the NBL, and I quote, a garbage league. Said something, and I'm paraphrasing, but said something along the lines of, it's hard to get a gauge of this kid. He was down there. He's basically playing in a garbage league. Now, I don't think he meant it in that spirit exactly. I thought if you were to replace league with team is how I interpreted it. Now, maybe I'm being too favorable to Bill Simmons. Maybe he did mean the whole league. I don't know. But if he were to say that it was the Hawks and that team that was garbage and Ball overran that team, I don't think that's entirely untrue. If you look at how that team responded when Aaron Brooks got injured and the way they, handled hiring a replacement, that was an exercise in ineptitude and more than likely dodgy dealings, which I think can fall under the category of garbage. However Simmons intended it, he still called the NBL, its players, its staff, garbage. And also totally delegitimized, for those who listen to him, those who support or take an interest in the league. And I just think you can't allow that to go totally unchecked. There's been a few people punch up on Twitter and things, but no one official, because Simmons is wrong in saying that. And just to assert my position, I don't really mind. I don't lose any sleep or any cash. It's not my league. It's not my place to take on Bill Simmons on their behalf. I assume they're hoping that if they don't say anything, it will just go away. And I don't think that's the attitude. All the league's players just got called garbage, mugged off by the number one sports analyst in the world. 5.7 million followers on Twitter. And none of the players, none of the league stood up for themselves. And I think that's, I don't think that, they just took it. Like a high school nerd getting a wedgie, a punch in the gut, and stuffed in a locker and left there. Talk about getting mugged off. What makes things worse in my eyes is the fact that in late May of 2019, Aaron Torres, who has appeared on the podcast, you can go back and have a look at that episode, wrote an article for Kentucky Sports Radio entitled, There's no proof New Zealand will better prepare RJ Hampton for the NBA draft than college hoops. And he got lambasted for it. Criticism from left and right. You go back and look at that tweet, there's sort of 120 interactions, maybe more, retweets and things. Following on from that article by Torres, there was articles by The West and Fox Sports all poking fun at Torres, in particular the Perth Bandits gaffe. Big hello and thank you to Nick Tan, who's listening, I hope, which continues. It's birthed something good. And I think looking at that Aaron Torres article, you can see where this Simmons situation could be a positive. But everyone was only too willing to take a poke at Aaron Torres from Kentucky Sports Radio. Afraid to take on Simmons? Torres at the very least clarified what he said, and he never called the league garbage. He was critical, and while I, along with a lot of people, really disagree with what he wrote, he was relatively thoughtful and complimentary, and he wasn't saying the NBL is crap. He was saying, I think college hoops is a better way to mature a talent like Hampton. And you know what? With the draft stock the way it is and the way he played New Zealand and what could have happened in college, I don't think he articulated it great in his article, but his theory or thesis or question is a valid one. As I said, people jumped on Torres, and they're welcome and right to, but now very few on Simmons. Punch up is what I say to people. Punch up. Bill Simmons, I'm sure he can take it. He's got just signed a $200 million contract with Spotify. I think he can take it. Aaron Torres has 26,000 followers on Twitter. That's nothing to sneeze at. It's a decent amount. Bill Simmons has 5.7 million. The NBL has 64,000. Think about that for a second. 26,000 for Aaron Torres, easy target. Bill Simmons, 5.7 million. The NBL, 64K. At the very least, ask Bill Simmons to clarify his thoughts. Start a dialogue. Okay, why do you think it's garbage? Are you of the belief that if it's not NBA, everything else is garbage? Or are you of the belief that what how many games did you watch? Because if you watch certain games of the NBL, you think it's garbage, as you would of any sports if you catch them on the wrong day. There's no problem with asking the guy to clarify his thoughts. But as I said, this is an opportunity the NBL, I think, is messing up. This is Bill Simmons. Whether you like it or not, he's the number one sports analyst on the planet. Send the guy a jersey with Bill Garbage Man Simmons on the back and a letter with a retort. You know, have a sense of humor about it. Win him over. Convince him otherwise. But most importantly, don't let you and your players get mugged off. You can't just let him mug you off. The Bill Simmons podcast gets 100 million downloads a month. That means that episode in which he called the NBL garbage would have, estimating, would have been heard by maybe 25 million people. If I'm not mistaken, you know, because Bill Simmons, they typically upload a podcast a week. So if they've got 100 a month, divide 4, 25, 25 million. As I said, the NBL should flip the script. And I said this in a text to the league's PR. Turn the negative into a positive. Send him a custom jersey. Start a dialogue about the league. Give a retort. As always, remain respectful and take the high road. Win the guy over. After all, Simmons' mindset is pretty much the same as every Australian not watching the NBL at present. And it's very much aligned with basketball fans in Australia who are watching the NBA exclusively and not the NBL. So the vast, and that majority, that those people, just by the by, are the vast majority of the country. So get to selling the league. In fact, it's almost a better position. Most of Australia wouldn't even be able to tell you what the initialism NBL means. At least this guy has engaged with the league a fraction, and while his opinion is negative, you'd rather have an opinion to try and change than someone who's just totally oblivious and uninterested. That's even worse. So this is, I actually see it as somewhat small seed of positivity. If I can make my position very clear, I ask NBL players, coaches, and teams for interviews. I do not think they're garbage, nor do I think Simmons is bad or garbage himself. But Simmons needs to clarify what he said. I've said that. On Simmons, his stuff is great to listen to. I don't read The Ringer or seek out the pop culture stuff, only the sports stuff. And even then, I don't listen to anything other than the basketball. Sometimes I might listen to the podcast a little bit longer and go into the other sports, but I never seek it out. But I encourage everyone to listen to it. It is good stuff. However, I'd feel like a knob not giving some pushback to Simmons in the very limited way that I can via this podcast. I feel very, very two-faced not giving some pushback to Simmons and then turning around and asking for the chats from NBL players. I think that would make me look like a bad guy. And it will be interesting to see when those who confronted Aaron Torres, no offense to Aaron, but smaller fish compared to Bill Simmons, and those who confronted him but not Simmons ask for interviews of NBL players. I think they should be made to start the request by saying, you know, hey, Bogut, if he plays, hey, Cotton, Golding, yeah, you garbage man. You got a few moments in between picking up garbage man to answer a few questions? Not good. Just a little news flash to any and all listening. You're not getting hired by The Ringer. I'm sorry, okay? There's no need to leave that avenue open, okay? You can criticize, but it's not going to hurt your chances. I'm sorry. Bill Simmons doesn't know you. He's not going to sweep in on a white horse in the middle of a pandemic where sports are getting nailed and hire you and give you a cut of that $200 million from Spotify. Sorry to break it to you. Not going to happen. Rather than saddling up to Simmons, I'd look after the people you can see and touch. Look after the people that look after you. That's just a little education and loyalty. On a minor side note with this whole saga, it does show how Australians consume media. Maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh in saying that people, I don't think I am. People have heard this Bill Simmons podcast. They know what he's said. But it does show that when you put something, you know, Australians respond to radio and print, these archaic forms, far more than podcasts. You know, that Aaron Torres was a blog on a WordPress website, whereas Bill Simmons on a podcast, well-produced audio quality, Australians just don't seem to engage with podcasts in the same way as they do with, you know, WordPress. Get with the times. Crazy. And it also shows me that when you commit something to the page, when you write it down, it cannot be undone. And people react strongly. And that's the only reason why Simmons is off the hook. But Hey, the Mug Off. Listen to their podcast. That brings us to the end of the program. You can hear me rustling with my notes. That's it. Short one. It's the off season. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Joseph Call from Perform Sports Media. All right, here's the list of things. Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod, Facebook, NBL Pocket Podcast, Instagram, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Patreon. The link's in the description. If you liked what you heard, want to support the show, I'd appreciate that. Booktopia is a proud sponsor of the program. Really appreciate them. If you're going to buy a book, be it basketball or a cookbook or otherwise, use the link in the description. I get a cut of the profits and I'd appreciate that. I hate ending the podcast this way. I kind of turn into a fast-talking merchant in a Turkish bazaar, spruiking all my wares. Feel the cotton, you know? But hey, gotta do what you can. Take care, everyone. And I don't know if it's midnight where you are, but it's time to take out the trash.